Welcome to Horse Happenings with myself, Lindsay Partridge. In this podcast, we're going to talk about the upcoming competition in Kentucky for the Thoroughbred Makeover and a little bit about what goes into competing internationally. What are some of the steps I do? How do I get through it? How do the horses get through it? And kind of take away some of that mystery, because I hear sometimes people say things like, oh, like I could never do that, or oh, that must be really difficult, or my horses couldn't do that, or oh, I wish I could do that one day. And it may not be as hard as you think, or maybe it is, I don't know, but I thought I'd share with you guys some of the things of what's running through my head as I head into my final week before shipping down to Kentucky, and some of the things that I've had to get in place to do that. So first off, the Thoroughbred Makeover is an international competition held in October, and it's always at the Kentucky Horse Park. I've been going down every year since they first started doing it at the Thoroughbred Makeover for Kentucky Horse Park in 2015. When I went in 2015, I was just over the moon excited to just be riding at the horse park. I had visited as a little girl and just loved it there. So I thought the experience was amazing and was happy to just go and ride. When I found out that my horses were first and second in trail and that I'd be making the finale with them, as well as finishing third in freestyles, I'd be in the finale with Khaleesi, whose registered name is Soar, twice for both her disciplines, I was even more over the moon excited. And then when we ended up winning the title of America's Most Wanted Thoroughbred, it really was a dream come true. But even without the winnings, it still would have been an amazing experience, because just going somewhere on a journey like that with my horses and getting to ride at such a big venue, unlike anything we have in Ontario, was just so exciting that it was totally worth it. But it was definitely scary and intimidating trying to figure out how all that works. I still remember the first time that I crossed the border with my horses, how nervous I was, how scared I was, and just getting all of the right pieces together. It can be a lot to think about. So I'm here to say that it's really not that hard. It's okay. It can be a little complicated the first time you do it, but it really gets to be pretty easy. So I wanted to walk you guys through some of the things for going to an international competition. And if something's been holding you back going on a long haul journey to go do something with your horses, whether it's going to a national forest to go trail riding or going to a competition, I hope that this podcast will help you guys discover the courage and the steps that you need to take to do that, and that you'll be able to take that little leap. So first off, once you commit to going, once you have your plan of where to go, the biggest thing is just making sure that you work with your vet to have the correct paperwork. So I have a great vet with Port Perry Vets that helps get all my paperwork in order. And the paperwork is pretty simple for traveling internationally, which can also be similar to crossing state lines as well, is you need a COGIN certificate within the last 6 months, and then you need a health certificate for export. And your health certificate is good for 30 days, your COGINS is good for 6 months. Generally, it's a good idea to get your COGINS done ahead of time, because it can take a week or so to come back the results. You don't really want to be leaving that in the last week to do. You want to have that ahead of time. So my horses, they get a COGINS done, and then I'll use that same piece of paper to go back and forth across the border for 6 months. But the health certificate is only good for 30 days. So when I'm planning my trips south across the border, I try to double up on trips if I can. So for example, recently I went down to Vermont with my horses for a training weekend, and we did a competition in New Hampshire. And then now we're going to be going down to Kentucky this week, and the trips are only 2 weeks apart. So I was able to put both trips on one health certificate. And then that way I'm not having to spend extra money, because every time you do a health certificate, it's about $150 or so. And then your COGINS is also around $100. So you don't really want to be doing those papers all the time for every single trip. If you can double up, then that's really great. And your health certificate is good for 30 days. So let's say, in my case, I think my health certificate was done on September 17th. So that means that my horses are good to stay down in the States until October 17th. On October 17th, they would need to be coming back. And that's important to note because if your horse is in the States longer than 30 days, then there is an extra step involved. If you're going for less than 30 days, it's pretty easy. You get to the border. Usually you go through the RV lane or you go through the truck lane. Either of those is usually fine. Sometimes they'll direct you to the truck lane, like going across in Detroit. They'll tell all horse trailers to go through the truck lane, but it doesn't really matter. The border crossings are pretty nice. Like if you say, this is my first time, I hope it's okay, I'm in the RV lane. And sometimes they'll tell you, oh, next time go in the truck lane. And sometimes they'll tell you next time go in the RV lane. It seems like every border is a little bit different, but you don't have to be worried about that. And then you just show them your paperwork for your health certificate and your Coggins, and you just let them know why you're coming down. And your vet will have done all that paperwork. Usually they don't actually check like the horses. You're not going to be asked to unload the horses or anything like that. It's pretty simple process. You just hand over the paperwork. They give it all back. Just make sure they stamp the page that says you brought your horse into the States, because when you return to Canada, if you're going from Canada or vice versa into the States, you don't want them thinking that you purchased your horse in the other country, because then you'd have to pay tax on them when you come back in. So if you have that stamp on your paperwork when you head down into the States, your vet will give you a package of paperwork with three pieces of paper: your Coggins, your health cert, and a form, a declaration that your horse has traveled. And so when they stamp that paperwork, it signifies, okay, this horse went into this country. And so when it comes back, it's proof that you didn't buy your horse in the other country. So then you don't have to get taxed or anything like that. So you literally, that's it. If your horse is going more than 30 days from when their health certificate was done, then there's an extra step, which is you need to see the vet on the other side of the border. And so you usually have to book an appointment for that. And if you just Google search the food inspection, it's a food inspection vet, which I know sounds maybe a little bit bad, but usually they're inspecting animals that are crossing the border for the sake of slaughter or for consumption and things like that, or for livestock. So that's the type of vet that you're going to. And so you just book the appointment with them. Each border crossing has their own vet. And when you cross the border, you just tell them you're going to the vet because you're over 30 days. And when you go to the vet, it's a pretty easy process. You just go in, you show them your paperwork. You usually have to pay a $40 fee or something like that. And then usually they will come outside and they'll look at the horse from the outside of the trailer just to verify the markings kind of line up. In my experience, I've never had a horse taken off the trailer. I've never had a horse like get a check other than a visual check is really what they're doing, just to make sure that it kind of looks like the horse that's on the Coggins papers. And that's it. And then you're free to go do your thing. Now, in terms of trailering long distances, I just make sure my horses have really good quality hay in their hay nets. I like to use hay nets with small enough holes that they can't put their foot in them, but big enough holes that they can eat the hay easily. And so usually like a 2-inch hole is what I'm using in my hay net bags. And then I try to offer my horses water every time I stop. So when we stop at the border, I'll offer water. When we stop to get gas, I'll offer water. Usually though, the horses won't drink until they've been in the trailer for about 6 hours or so. I find that's unless it's a really hot day or something, that's the minimum amount of time. So try not to freak out if your horse isn't drinking. They drink less sometimes on the trailer, in which case there's a product that I use called Winnie Water, and I'm not sponsored by them. I just discovered this product and it works, where you basically pour the packet of yummy smelling stuff into the water and then it entices the horse to drink more. It's kind of like a molasses mixture and encourages them to drink. I know some people have poured apple juice into a bucket of water and that can entice your horse to drink. And you can also give your horse electrolytes. I use the Equicel paste from Omega Alpha, and that can encourage your horse to drink as well, because you want to make sure they're getting their electrolytes, they're getting enough salt, and that's going to encourage them to drink. If they're not drinking enough, then you can be worried about colic. So that's that is important that they get drinking. However, Alicia is not a good traveler. She usually does not drink in the trailer unless we're doing a really long haul and she's in the trailer like 14 hours. She'll drink a little bit, but still not a lot. And I just make sure as soon as she gets off the trailer, there's a nice big bucket of clean, fresh water in the stall waiting for her. And she'll usually have a big drink then. And she tends to not eat as much on the trailer as well. And then in terms of helping settle their stomachs, it's a good idea to have some alfalfa hay or alfalfa pellets because that helps buffer the stomach a little bit so they won't get ulcers on the journey. And you can also give products like Gastra FX, which is from Omega Alpha. They sell it in tubes or in a liquid that you can use a syringe. And that also helps the stomach because they can get ulcers if they're in a trailer for a long time. They're not eating or drinking properly if they're stressing themselves out. So if we can keep their tummies happy, that's going to really help them with the long travel. And then when we're there at the event, I usually make sure that I've brought a little equine first aid kit with me just in case something happens. And little things that I keep with me, I keep Banamine with me in case my horse has any colic symptoms. I want to have something already on hand. So I just make sure I have a tube of that from my vet should I need it. And you can get some recommendations from your vet on how to use that, how to dose that. I like to keep some wound cream with me, the electrolytes, which I already mentioned, as well as I like to have oil. I'll use the Body Glow oil from Omega Alpha. I think that's good to just mix in with their food. I give them a little bit anyways every day for shiny coats and getting their oils. But it's good for the food, especially if your horse hasn't been drinking a lot. If you can get them to eat a bit of oil with their food, then you know that's just going to help keep everything loose in their bowel and not risk any colic. So that's a good thing to be having. Bee pulp is great for that too. Nice moist food that's been soaked. It's really handy for them. But really, it's not a hard process to do all of that paperwork or anything like that to go across. Hopefully that's not holding you back from going on a travel if that's what you're thinking of doing. And the horses, they trailer pretty well. My horses have gone to different shows around Ontario. They've been on hour-long journeys or two-hour-long journeys. And then when we go down to a bigger journey, like we're going to be going to Kentucky, and it's going to be, I think it's 12 hours of driving, plus we have our stops that we have to do along the way. But sometimes I really will just load my horses on the trailer and let them eat their grain. And so they end up thinking of the trailer almost like a standing stall and not so much as a trailer. And they're not as stressed about it as maybe other horses might be. And that can be a tool that you use to just help make sure that your horse is going to be relaxed in that stall. And definitely by going to other little places first and your horse coming home helps your horse know that they're not sold, they're not going anywhere, you're staying with them. It just helps to give them that little bit of consistency before going on a big long haul. And as we're getting ready to go down this week, it's hard to believe that it's going to be so soon. We want to make sure we've got lots of hay bags coming down with us. We're going to have extra bag of shavings, extra bale of hay. I bring two big, I'm not sure how many gallons are in them, two big giant jugs of water that I refill with water from our farm. So it's the same water that they're used to rather than relying on filling up off-site because that helps them drink in the trailer as well. And then we do water buckets with clips, so I can actually leave a water bucket in the trailer. Usually I don't do that when they first load in case they're pawing or moving around a little bit. I don't want them to paw and accidentally get their foot in their bucket, and I know they're not going to drink right away anyways, but usually on our first stop I'll put a bucket in the trailer and I'll clip it up to their head area where they can reach it safely and leave some water, like a half bucket of water, so that way they can drink at their leisure. Is kind of a good way to do that. And each horse kind of has their own plan of what they're doing. So Newton, who's going to be coming down to the makeover, we've been having a hard-ish time putting weight on him. He was definitely more kind of thin when we got him, probably had ulcers because most thoroughbreds do have ulcers off the track, and so we treated him for those. And when we put him on this grain that had soy in it, he dropped weight like dramatically in a matter of a few days. He looked so much worse. And so we pulled him off of that grain And he's just getting alfalfa pellets and beet pulp and oil and some supplements and things like that in consultation with the nutritionist. And so for him, we want to be really careful with his weight. So he's only going to get ridden once this week for some freestyle practice. But otherwise, he is just eating alfalfa hay. He is getting fed 3 meals a day. And we're just trying to bulk him up so that way when he travels, he hopefully doesn't drop too much weight. And we'll keep up with his meals as well. King, on the other hand, he's looking pretty good. So for him, he's going to be going to a couple more offsite schooling opportunities to just make sure he's comfortable with water and things like that, that he's still not super confident with. So he'll be doing things right up until the time. And Alicia, she's not a great traveler. So she's doing a couple shows to prepare, but otherwise she's going to have the week off as well at home to just be eating alfalfa hay, get that stomach feeling really good. And before we get on the trailer, when we head down, she'll be getting a tube of GastroFX along with all the other horses as well, just to make sure that their stomachs stay really happy heading down. And this year we're doing things a little bit differently. We're going to go down to a location in Kentucky where we're going to be for a training weekend. And then that way they do the big long haul and they get a chance to eat when they're down there. And then when we actually ship into Kentucky for the horse park, it will just be a 2-hour drive, so it won't be super far. And the benefit to that is mostly to do with their weight. If trying not to go too long of a period of time without them eating or drinking as much, and giving them some time to kind of eat and buffer their stomach again before we get to the makeover, where they have to do a vet exam within 30 minutes of checking in, which can be really hard if you've trailered your horse and they've been down like on the trailer for 14, 15 hours, then they do tend to drop a little bit of weight or maybe be a little bit tucked up, a little bit stressed, and it's not necessarily super easy on them. So you don't really want them walking off the trailer and then doing a vet exam on body score to determine whether or not you're going to be allowed to compete. You want to give your horse a really good chance to settle, get off the trailer, eat, and then have a shorter journey on the way there. So that's our plan for this time going down. And when we stayed on there, sometimes I've stayed in my trailer when I used to have a bigger living quarters trailer. This time we're going to be staying in a hotel when we're down there because I've got a smaller bumper pole that we're going down in. My preference is to trailer a horse in a slant load trailer because there's no worry of them getting over the chest bar in any way, shape, or form because there is no chest bar. And I find that the horses can balance really nicely, as well as when a study was done on horses in trailers, they often choose to stand on a slant. Usually a reverse slant is their preferred method of travel. So these are all the things that are running through my head. I'm also checking the weather to see if we need to bring our fans for their stalls, which it doesn't look like it's going to be ridiculously hot. It looks like it's going to be in the low 70s, high 60s. So we're not going to pack the fans. Might pack some coolers though, because it's getting a little cooler at night. So I want to make sure that my horses have the appropriate blankets and things that they need, depending on how the weather goes, because we're going to be there for an entire week. And then it all comes down to what we call Tetrising the trailer, which is where we have to kind of carefully think about what we're packing, where we're packing it, and really maximize the space, because it is a smaller trailer and it's going to be a tight fit to get everything in. That's always kind of the fun part, is getting it all in there. So I can't believe that we are down to the final week. I love being down at the makeover, and I hope that listening to this podcast has made it seem not too difficult getting those papers sorted out and anything you need to do to get your horse ready to travel long distance. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Horse Happenings with myself, Lindsay Partridge. Remember, you can always check out more great free resources and other information at harmonyhorsemanship.com, or check me out on my personal website, lindsaypartridge.com. That's Lindsay with an E, partridge.com, or harmonyhorsemanship.com. Thanks so much for listening, and bye for now.